Our call to worship today is in John 8, and this is a discussion with Jesus and the Pharisees, and you can only imagine what kind of a discussion that would be, because they constantly are at each other's odds. And Jesus is expecting some different things from them than they're thinking. So let's just listen to it. We'll be talking about it in the sermon too. John 8, verses 39 through 41. "Abraham is our father," they answered. And Jesus says, "If you were Abraham's children, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father." Can you imagine? This is, okay, think of yourselves as a Pharisee, a Jew, and then having this prophet come and say, "You are not an Israelite." You are not. And then they said, "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. "The only father we have is God himself." With that, let's pray. Lord, thank you for the message that we have today. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit will be here and speak to us as we worship you. Might your name be proclaimed first and foremost here in our lives, in our hearts, and our minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to read and talk about a very large passage today, and the reason for that is it all ties together, and it says pretty much the same thing we've been saying for the last 6 weeks, but more. And so I want to be repetitious because we need that, but I didn't want to be too repetitious. So if you have your Bibles, and if you don't, there's one in front of you in some of the chairs there. We're going to read Romans 4, 9 through 17 to start with. "Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. He received circumcision as a sign and a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then he is the father of all who believe but have been circumcised, who have not been circumcised, I'm sorry, in order that righteousness may be credited to him. And he is then also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised," listen to this very carefully, "who are not only circumcised, but also follow the footsteps of faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who depend on the law are heirs, faith means nothing and the promise is worthless, because the law brings wrath, and where there is no law, there is no transgression." Verse 16, "Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all, as it is written, 'I have made you a father of many nations.' He is the father, he is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, and God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not." I have a story that I'd like to read to you, a short story taken from my Chuck Swindoll illustration book. But before I do, I just want to apologize. For those who were here in October of 2012, I did the same story then, and many of you were not there, and some of you were. Hopefully it's brand spanking new today. Two families from the state of New York were studied very carefully. One was the Max Jukes family, and the other was Jonathan Edwards' family. The one thing discovered in this study was remarkable. Here's what was learned. Likes beget likes. Similarities beget similarities, okay? Max Jukes was an unbelieving man, and he married a woman of like character who lacked principle. And among the known descendants, over 1,200 were studied. 310 became professional vagrants. Did you hear that? 310 professional vagrants. 440 physically wrecked their lives by a debauched lifestyle. 130 were sent to the pen for an average of 13 years each. Seven of them for murder. There were over 100 who became alcoholics, 60 became habitual thieves, 190 public prostitutes. Of the 20 who learned to trade, 10 of them learned trade in straight prison. It cost the state about $1,500,000, and they made no contribution whatever to society. In about the same era, the family of the Jonathan Edwards came on the scene. And Jonathan Edwards, a man of God, married a woman of like character. And their family began, and they became a part of the study that was made. 300 became clergymen, missionaries, and theological professors. Over 100 became college professors. Over 100 became attorneys. 30 of them judges. 60 of them became physicians. And over 60 became authors of good classic good books. 14 became presidents of universities. There were numerous giants in American industry and that emerged from this family. Three became United States congressmen, and one became the vice president of the United States. Now, before you think back in your family about some of your children and the way they are living or not living, I need to remind you that I'm a sinner. Are you a sinner? Yes, the Bible says every one of us are sinners. And guess what? Our kids are sinners too. And you cannot direct the paths of your kids. Your kids are sinners and they make decisions of their own. And so before you are hard on yourself for the way your kids' decisions have been affected, know that God called us to be obedient to His Word no matter how our kids turn out. I have one son that's not living for the Lord. And that breaks my heart. So this story represents the lives that we can affect. And if we live godly lives, we become lighthouses to those around us, whether they're in our family or people in our community. We need to be lighthouses to people around us. You know, even the people that were around Jesus when He was here on earth ignored Him. In fact, they wanted to crucify Him and beat Him. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for this text, and I thank You for this message, Lord, that You'll teach us. Oh, teach us to be servants of Yours in the power of Your holy name. We pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, I ask that you keep them open to Romans chapter 4. We're going to be going through one paragraph at a time. Usually I go through one verse at a time, and today I'm doing one paragraph at a time and tying it all together for you. So let's look at verses 9 through 12 in Romans 4. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? What Paul is really asking here is the blessedness that comes through faith for the Jews Or is it for the Gentiles? What do you think? Huh? Both. Both. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Listen to this. Was it after he was circumcised or was it before he was circumcised? Before, really? You sure? Okay, you're right. Abraham was called by God to leave his family and go somewhere else. Did God tell him where? No, he didn't tell him where at all. But Abraham believed God and it was considered to him as righteousness because he obeyed God. Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received circumcision as a sign, a seal of righteousness, and that he had by faith while he was still circumcised. This is exactly what we need to be as believers in Jesus Christ. God says that Abraham was to be set apart, different, so he set up the organization of circumcision so that the Jews would be different. Set apart. And that's the way we need to be. We need to be different than the rest of the world. Set apart. So then, he is the father of all who believe, but have not been circumcised, in order that the righteousness might be credited to him. And he is then also the father of the circumcised who not only are circumcised, but who also follow in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. We've been stressing the fact in the last several weeks about faith without deeds is worthless. It's dead. It's a null and void. You can't have one without the other. Abraham was considered to be righteous before he was circumcised because he obeyed God and he was considered righteous because of that. God told him to leave and he did. He listened and obeyed. Genesis 17, 3 through 6 says, Abraham fell face down and God said to him, as for me, this was my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you into the father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. What's he talking about? Isn't he the father of the Jewish nation? Well, how can he be the father of many nations? It's really simple. We just read it. Abraham was considered to be the father of the circumcised and the uncircumcised, the belief only through belief in Jesus Christ. You see, it's through what Jesus did on the cross that we come to heaven, right? To come to faith in Jesus Christ. So Abraham is no longer the father of the Jewish nations, but through faith in Jesus Christ, he's the father of you as well. Americans. Hispanics in South America and Central America, to the north of us, Canada. Eh? We are all falling into the category of children of Abraham through faith in Jesus Christ. I love the discussion that Jesus was having with the Pharisees. In our call to worship, and I'm going to read that for you again. John chapter 8, verses 39 through 41. Abraham is our father. And they answered, Jesus answered, if you are Abraham's children, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. Can you imagine someone coming up to you and saying, you are doing the works of your own father, but it's not your father, it's of a different father. He's saying that their father is Satan, the devil, because that's the way they're acting. And then they say, the Pharisees, I wished I was there. That would have been an interesting conversation. He says, we are not illegitimate children. The only father we have is God himself. You know, Jesus stepped on a few toes along the way. And he was really wanting to point them only to Jesus, to himself. But the text goes on. Let's go on here. John 8, 42 through 47 says, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me. Now, at this point, they didn't know the truth yet, that he was God's son. But he says, if you loved God, you would love me. For I have come from God. I have not come from my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out what your father's desires. He was a murderer. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there was no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and a father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Do we have any bankers in here? Okay, and I hope that I'm telling the truth here. Bank tellers, when they're taught how to handle money and taught how to decide what a counterfeit is, they're taught to handle the real money. They're not to look at the counterfeit. And that's, so when a counterfeit comes across the table, they know what it is because it's not the same. It's not the same. Well, that's how these people were, except in complete opposite. You see, the Jewish people were so concerned about the way they used to do things and the way that they've done things forever and ever and the way they wanted to do things that they didn't recognize the truth. They didn't recognize Jesus when he came and they lived in a lie. Verse 46, can any of you prove me guilty of sin? I am telling the truth. Why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God, here's what God says. If you belong to God, you hear what he says. Are you listening to God? Do you open his word and do what it says? The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Romans 4, verses 13 through 15. It was not through the law that Abraham and his offering received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but through the righteousness that comes by faith. We've said that again and again for the last several weeks. Through the righteousness that comes by faith. For those who depend on the law are heirs. Faith means nothing and the promise is worthless because the law brings wrath and there is no law, where there is no law, there is no transgression. That I love that song. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory that we have in Jesus. You know, I don't know how anybody can live in this world without faith in Jesus Christ. He is my hope. He's my salvation. He is the solid rock that we stand on. I have a text I want to read you, and it's kind of graphic. Kind of gross, maybe. Paul is... It's so good to have you back, Rose. She's smiling like, oh no, what's he going to say now? Paul is... In Philippians, Paul is talking to the people and he's telling them everything that he's accomplished. You know, he was the Jew of Jews, and he was trained by the best people, and he was a Pharisee. He was respected. And then he says this, Philippians 3:8. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Everything that he has done in the past, he considers worthless because he knows Jesus. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage, he says, that I may gain Christ. Some versions say rubbish. Some versions say dog poop. Pretty graphic, isn't it? It doesn't matter what you do. It's only through faith in Jesus. How's that, Rose? It's only faith in Jesus. Everything else that you do, all your good works, teaching Sunday school, being an usher, being on the diaconate, it doesn't matter. Oh, we need those people. It doesn't matter. Nothing matters. Only your faith in Jesus. Do you listen to God? Don't listen to me. Listen to God. Romans 4, verses 16 and 17. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be grace and may be guaranteed to all Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who have faith in Abraham. He is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed. Listen very carefully here. The God who gives life to the dead. The God who gives life to the dead. Alan, are you a sinner? Yes. By his own confession, he's a sinner. Jim, are you a sinner? Ray, what's the penalty for sin? Death. Romans 6:23. We're all sinners. The Bible tells us that. And the penalty, the payment for sin is death. And Paul is saying in Romans 4, the God who gives life to the dead. Who's that? Huh? Us. Say it louder. I hope that you know by the end of today that if you believe in Jesus Christ, you are alive. We have life through Jesus Christ. We are no longer dead. We are no longer headed to hell. We are going to a new place that God has prepared for each one of us. Amen? Oh, faith that gives life to those who are dead. The promise to Abraham was that he would be the father of many nations. That's us, if you believe in Jesus Christ. Romans 6, 15 through 18. Paul's asking a question. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? We're all forgiven, right? Does that mean we can do whatever we want and sin forever and ever and ever? Linda says, no. No. Really? We're still forgiven, right? Donna?
You gotta work on it. You're still forgiven, but you gotta look. But you'll as long as you realize what you're doing and try to do better.
We need to ask for forgiveness. Listen to this. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey? You are slaves to the one you obey. Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and become slaves of righteousness. Study Him. Study His Word. And know that you are going to heaven. Amen.